Hello and welcome back. This is part two of our two-part episode on the best things from 2018. If you didn't listen to part one, you can find that in the iTunes feed or Podomatic or wherever it is you found this one. Or you can just skip to this one. I'm not your boss. Anyways, on to the show.
Kyle, what's your next
Best gaming moment of the year? So these are like scenes or moments that I experienced while playing games this year. Number four is releasing a T-Rex in the game Jurassic World Evolution, which is basically like Dino Park Tycoon or Roller Coaster Tycoon. You can release a T-Rex and it's really stressful but also amazing because you need to make sure that you have the right environment for it and the right containment for it, and it's really cool. The prison break section of A Way Out, where you're gathering all your supplies, you're smuggling out blankets, and you're breaking through toilets to get to the back and to get to a secret area. And there's one part where me and Lisa were playing together, and you had to like pass a screwdriver back and forth between cells while someone kept watch, and you're breaking through your toilet, and it's really cool. There was an amputation moment in Red Dead Redemption 2 that I just stumbled upon, where I rescued someone in the world and they said that their arm hurt, so I delivered them to the doctor. And normally you're supposed to just deliver them and then just go on with your mission, but I was curious to see like where it went. And if you just stayed in the back room where the doctor is, he'll cut the guy's arm off. And like it's you'll just like stay there, and it's just something like it's an amazing sort of detail that they voice acted out, they did all the animation for, but I would assume that 98% of the people who play the game probably don't even see this because I just happen to just hang out long enough to see it. But my ultimate favorite video game moment is this house breakout scene in the game Detroit Become Human, which is a David Cage game where you make a lot of decisions and you're in a world where you play as a lot of these androids. And it's one of these choose your own adventure type games. And you play, in this particular scene, you play as Kara, who's this maid, and she's taking care of this little girl. And you are trying to get this chip out of your, I think you're trying to get this chip removed from your body so you can move on. And you find yourself in this creepy house, and this guy says he can help you, but it turns out that he is sort of capturing and enslaving robots. So you need to get out of there real quick. And it's basically this sort of cat and mouse game where you're with this little girl and hiding under furniture and trying to escape this house. And I managed to do that, but it turns out that since it's a David Cage game, there are outcomes where you can fail and your character just dies and her storyline ends. And it's like within the first 25% of her storyline. So it's a really intense scene that could potentially change how the rest of your game turns out. And I like that about Detroit Become Human is a game where your outcomes and your storyline is completely different from everyone else who plays it. So it's really cool. I don't know if you've played David Cage games before.
No.
Heavy Rain, and there's another one that was big, but yeah, they're really cool games. They're kind of like the Walking Dead, Telltale games,
okay,
but they're to the extreme. Characters can actually die off, and storylines can be adjusted more extremely than just you choose if boy or girl dies or lives. So, but yeah, it's Detroit Become Human is a really cool game. Unfortunately, it's only for PlayStation 4, but yeah. Stemo.
Best use of the 1995 Looney song. I got five on it, and this is gonna go.
I've got five on it.
Brilliant.
There can be only one recipient for this, and that is for the Us trailer. Jordan Peele is coming back as writer director, and we already conveyed the main point that I wanted to make, which is I'm not seeing this in theaters. No.
Definitely not.
I do want to see it in theaters because I didn't see I didn't see Get Out until
I saw it at home. And
this looks... I don't know.
I haven't seen the trailer yet.
This looks... This trailer looks much more... There was a slow burn quality to Get Out. This does not look like it's a slow burn film. This looks like it's going to like ramp up quick.
It's a hard burn.
Yeah. It's going to ramp up quick and stay there. There's elements... actually, going back to where we were talking about before, too. Like, there's elements of, like... Even though it's supernatural still, there's, like... kind of home invasion elements.
There's some like. Sci-fi. Yeah, I don't know how much of it's sci-fi too. Like,
yeah,
but just the fact that it's a movie about doppelgangers is going to be interesting in and of itself. We haven't had a lot of those.
This is something that I just.
So I watched Mirror Image like right after seeing the trailer. I turned on the Twilight Zone. I was like, I got to watch Mirror Image.
I never saw that one. The only one I could think of is what the heck was that called? Mongo Lake.
Mm.
Is that what it's called? Something like that.
From Blazing Saddles?
No.
Well, I mean, Us just looks great. When... I'm blanking on the actress's name.
Lupita Nyong'o.
Lupita, when she goes off, like, beat. And yes. You know, yes. And it's like...
You gotta stay on rhythm.
Yeah, it's just really awesome. Like, it looks really scary, and I think it's going to be terrifying. Apparently, there's a huge Twitter story right now around it being based on the Proud Family. This black cartoon from the Disney Channel. A lot of people feel like this is like a
takeoff of
it. Yeah. Yeah. I guess like Peele's playing along with it.
Oh, right on.
Winston Duke. I did think it was awesome to see Winston Duke. I am worried about his accent, though.
Does he have a... I haven't seen the trailer.
It was kind of perceptible. Like, it was...
Oh, I didn't pick up on it.
I noticed it, like, kind of right away. Yeah.
He has an accent or his character? Because I don't know. I've only seen him
in... His character had, like, kind of a... Well, he had a college shirt, so he could have come from somewhere else. Maybe it's part of the story.
And Jordan Peele is directing it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the first thing he's done since Get Out?
Yep.
Awesome. It is.
Well, in movies, he's produced... Or that he's directed. He's produced a million things. He produced Black Klansman. Mm-hmm. He's doing that TV.
A few TV series.
Yeah.
TV series. You called that the Twilight Zone reboot? Yeah, is that what you're talking about? You called that from deep.
I did call that, actually. Yeah. That he would.
From that's like what he should years do. Prior, you're like, this guy would be the perfect guy.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I wonder if that's on record.
It is. I mean, it was on an
episode. He might owe us residuals, I think.
Well, I'm coming for mine, Peele.
We know you're listening.
Right.
But
listening, we know you are.
I don't know if he's had this one, because I know that he was writing Get Out like as far back as when he was on Mad TV. So I'm wondering if this is going to be like a newer, more of the moment, or if this is going to be more, I mean...
Do you think it's going to be as big?
He's been...
That's why I don't know. The only thing I don't know.
Yeah, I just remember him talking about it as recently as Get Out. Yeah, he could have been working on it for a lot longer than that, way he writes, you know?
Yeah.
So
but that was my number two.
Well, that's really fitting, because my trophy for best director of 2018 goes to Jordan Peele.
For 2018?
Yeah.
I'm curious as to...
So... Yeah, and as I'm sure many listeners are well aware, he didn't direct anything in 2018. However, I think that when we talk about what we envision, when we think about the greatest directors, like I'm thinking Orson Welles right now. Like when we talk about what a director is, what kind of artist they are, it's a person who's a visionary, it's a person who is generally extremely dynamic, has all these different skills, all these different things. And the best directors not only... They're not only technically skilled, they capture the public's imagination. Like, to me, what made Orson Welles so cool is that people throughout the year were always wondering, what is Orson Welles doing?
Mm-hmm.
What you know, it's the director is this huge artistic personality. Mm. And Peele is bringing that back in such a powerful way, I think. You know, he's the first director that I can think of where people are excited for everything he's doing. And even with The Twilight Zone, it's not just that he's rebooting The Twilight Zone. It's that he's completely aware of how big of a deal it is. Aware enough that he's going to do the narration.
Yeah.
And Peele is the type of person, is the type of artist who can do the narration. Like, he is an actor. He is a comedian. And it's like, we haven't had somebody like this since. And I keep going back to Welles. I think he's basically that, he's on that level. Yeah. And so yeah, he's the best director. I mean, he's stayed in the public eye. Like as Nick said, he's got so many projects out. I've pulled up, I mean, he's got 6 upcoming projects that haven't even come out yet. Mm. You know, there's Us, there's Lovecraft Country, headed to HBO, which is going to be
whatever
amazing.
That is going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome.
Just like, with that name.
You know, have you heard anything about it?
I don't even want to know. I'm just going to I'm just going to take his word for it.
Yeah. Well, I heard he was, I didn't realize it was 6. I'd heard he has 4 more movies planned, including Us. But I didn't realize he had, like...
Well, this is just 6 series. I mean, he's producer of The Hunt for Amazon, which is that Nazi hunting thing. He's got something coming out on YouTube Premium. He's got a Netflix thing where he's producing... It's a producer, co-writer, and that's him and Key. I mean, the guy is taking this time to do, like, some amazing things. And, like, I'm really impressed with it. I think it's really awesome. And he's weird. He's, you know, he's overly artistic. He's brooding. Mm-hmm. He's the perfect director, like, and he seems to understand that. He has kind of an awareness of it.
My favorite thing is he's a nerd.
Yeah, yeah. He's so nerdy.
Yeah,
he has such an awareness of, also, like, the culture.
Yeah. We're talking about how he's doing, like, these weird, like, sci-fi horror type things, and he's this artist, and he's smart, and he's brooding, and he's dark, and he's tapped into these sociocultural things. He's also so funny.
Yeah, and so funny.
Between him and his wife, they have a kid. His wife is Chelsea Peretti. Yeah. That kid is going to be the funniest person in the world. Just like,
no, I kind of think it'll be the opposite.
They'll
be like,
no, man,
the most
super boring.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll do?
I was going to go into chemistry, but it was too fast paced. So. Right.
Do you think he'll do, like, a big comedy project? I mean, I don't know what his future projects are, but
he could. I mean, he's positioned to do whatever he wants.
Probably,
despite them not probably being as popular as his, like, scarier thriller stuff.
I think he will again. Apparently, this thing with Key is like a horror comedy.
Yeah,
doing, I just don't know how he's gonna. I would love to see a horror comedy from him.
Yeah,
I mean, not just comedic beats,
like Get Out. Because, like, I was gonna say Get Out
had comedic beats, but
Get Out has a lot of really funny parts, and I think it complements the horror really well.
Yeah, except it's more classic horror.
Yeah,
the humor in it feels like a lot of the humor in, like, a lot of the, like, classic horror films. Yeah. I know what you mean.
But he has American Werewolf in London, Shaun of the Dead or something.
See, even American Werewolf, that's another. I'm in the camp that thinks that people think it's too much of a comedy, when in fact I think it's
scary.
It's really scary. It's scary. However, that's just a sticking point for me.
What? I'd like to think that if he does do a comedy thing, I kind of almost don't want to see him in it, though. I don't know. Like, I don't know why. Like, I know he's funny, but I feel like
I want to see him in a comedy movie, like.
Want it to be like a Key and Peele.
Yeah,
do this, and it's a
they
comedy.
Tried that with Keanu, and it didn't.
That's kind of what this.
I like Keanu.
Do you like
it? Yeah. I had fun with it.
I've seen it actually.
It's a goofy movie. It's not a masterpiece. Yeah.
Well, that's what I want from them, though. Like, because you know that they can do whatever.
They can ascend to
I mean,
one of the best movies of the year quality.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they could make a new comedy classic.
Yeah.
Nick, what's your next two awards, next 3 awards?
I got bad news. I miscounted. I had 12 awards to give out.
Yeah, buddy,
I was just on a roll, like, when I was coming up with these categories. So I'll go with best actress. Number 5 is Thomasin McKenzie from Leave No Trace. Number 4 is Yalitza Aparicio from Roma. Number 3 is Helena Howard from Madeline. Number 2 is Regina Hall from Support the Girls. And my number 1, gotta go with Toni Collette from Hereditary. She's just so good in that movie. And then a couple special categories, since we talked about them. The best 2018 Netflix original film comprised of decades-old previously lost footage involving a story where the director of a film has a failed attempt at a romantic relationship with the main character of the film, who is way too young for them, and then then the director dies.
The way you're reading these sounds like a John Docker game, too.
my Runner-up is Shirkers, but the winner is The Other Side of the Wind, which was Orson Welles' movie.
That really got me.
In my next category, best 2018 film where, as part of his job, a black guy successfully pretends to be...
That, yeah, now you hear it. You hear it.
What did I do?
It sounds like the way you're... Maybe just the way you're reading it, it just sounds like you're describing a John Ducker
like
movie that we should be guessing.
Prompts.
Yeah, that, yep. That we should be guessing.
Best 2018 film where, as part of his job, a black guy successfully pretends to be a white guy on the phone with a female love interest played by one of the few women of color in the Marvel Cinematic Universe who is not from Wakanda. My runner-up is Sorry to Bother You, but my winner is Black Klansman.
Nice. Very nice.
Wowza.
Both pretty good movies.
It's been a weird year. It's like there's something in the air that just like people were just recurring, you know?
It's like the ants, Bug's Life, Armageddon, yeah. Deep Impact thing all over again. Kyle, yeah. What's your next trophy?
That did happen, Mike.
My next trophy is Game of the Year. Runners up are Red Dead Redemption 2, Realistic Western. Marvel Spider-Man, which is the most immersive superhero game I've ever played. I love that it's in a new universe, so it's an unpredictable Spider-Man, an older Spider-Man. He's out of college, so he's like in his 20s. Mm-hmm. That was a really well done game, and when you're swinging around the city, it just feels perfect. Octopath Traveler on the Switch, which is this turn-based RPG. Very strategic combat where you're not just pummeling your enemies. You're thinking about like three turns ahead, laying defensive moves, boosting your party, doing things like that. There's 8 separate storylines you can play through. And they're all really well done, really well voice acted. I talked about the art style earlier, but my game of the year has to be God of War. It's just this incredible experience that, as far as the camera work goes, the whole game is done in one shot. So when you're playing the game, beating up on Norse baddies and everything, the camera will swing around and there's no cuts in the entire game. So it'll go from gameplay to cinematic to gameplay, and the camera will just either circle or go in or zoom out. And it's just like the best wonder ever. So if you play the entire game of God of War and don't die, it'll be like a continuous shot, no load screens, no
That's
anything
awesome.
it's this so cinematic, so amazing, so visceral. The gameplay is it's not quite as arcadey as the original God of War games where you're beating up on 20 guys at once, the enemies on screen at once, but it's way more tactile, way more strategic. You're upgrading your character, you're meeting new NPCs that are all of the different personalities. But the fact that you'll be playing this for a few hours and you'll realize like the camera hasn't cut or like hasn't switched at all, it's really something special. And the fact that they took this series that's been around for a very long time, took it out of the Greek setting, threw it into Norse, and it just fits really well. And meanwhile, they're telling this really heartfelt story about a dad and a son, and they're trying to deliver the ashes of his wife and mother to the highest peak in the Nine Realms. And it's not like it's a simple story, but it's also really well told, and it's really special, and it's really cool, it's really badass, really well done. And it's similar to something like Red Dead. There's nothing really negative I can say about it. I just had more fun playing this game, and I felt I was interested in picking it up again and keep playing it. And it was a shorter experience, which I mean, it's long for a God of War game, but it was shorter than Red Dead, which I liked. So
is there like an open world aspect to God
there of is War? So and there's a lot of really interesting lore stuff with Norse mythology and everything. Oh, cool. you're fighting characters, and there's like a twist at the end of who your son is, and it's really well done, and you're fighting people and on top of dead gods, and it's like really cool.
It's still Kratos?
Yeah, you're still Kratos, but he's aged, and
it's like old man Logan.
Yeah, they make a nod to who he was, and he picks up like his weapons that he had in the original game, and they make a big deal out of that, and like the Kratos in this God of War went through what the previous God of War games went through, so you can tell like he's seen things, and he's trying to keep, now that he's a family and a son, he's trying to keep them from that side of him, and it's, he's constantly like struggling with that. It's really well done. It does remind me of Logan or like The Last of Us or something, where there's just the dynamic between them is so well done. So yeah, it's like a really special game that kind of came out of nowhere. I was always going to play it, but I didn't think it was going to be this good. And the whole cinematic quality of it is just adds to it. So
nice. Yeah, that's really cool. I was just going to say there's like a, I guess I'll track it down. There's an article written about how a lot of the gaming franchises, the characters are getting older with us.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, now Kratos, like, we are going to identify with him because he has a family. He has.
Yeah, I'm curious. As
this generation is getting older now, because there's a lot in Red Dead that has to do with aging and has to do with, like,
oh yeah,
mortality.
Yeah. Did you play the original Red? You played the original Red.
Yeah,
Red. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Loved it.
Yeah, I'm gonna be curious as if like killing off our favorite characters is gonna become a thing eventually.
Yeah, like the next God of War game, is it gonna be a big deal?
Like, yeah, like they're gonna kill him off, or like if they kill off Mega Man or something like crazy like that, where they're
think Nintendo will go that route.
Probably not Nintendo. I was just trying to think of, like, they won't kill off Mario either, but yeah, like stuff like that. Where
they, oh man, that'd be so depressing.
Yeah,
it's gone. Yeah,
Femo, what would be your last category?
I wanted it to be something impactful, so I went with best on-screen pointing.
nice.
This is in the film Solo. The pointing is done by Alden Ehrenreich.
Ehrenreich.
Thank you.
I'm familiar with him from Hail Caesar, the Coen Brothers movie. Did anyone see that?
I haven't seen it.
It's not great, but he is the best scene of that movie.
I watched a couple of scenes randomly.
Did you see the scene with him and Ralph Fiennes in it?
I don't think I watched the ones where it was like the guy, the one cowboy character, was trying to get his lines.
And yeah, that's the one. Okay. He's the one who's trying to get his lines. Nice. And it's like one of the funniest things I've seen. It's
really funny.
And that is what, I haven't seen Solo yet, but that is what made me the most interested in seeing Solo. It wasn't Star Wars or Ron Howard or Lorda Miller.
Yeah.
It's just him in that scene. He's so funny.
He's I spoke about this before on the pod, but there are times when he's channeling Harrison Ford.
Uh-huh.
And early on in the film, he does one of the Harrison Ford, like, I'm going to lean slightly forward, make direct eye contact, and point just slightly.
Yeah.
And it's like he just nails the mannerism. Yeah. And when I saw that, I'm like, oh, I'm going to really enjoy this movie if he keeps doing things like this. And I did.
I still need to check it out. So we talked about this a little bit. How uneven does it feel
It is. Sometimes it's jarring going from scene to scene where it's like masterfully directed, and how stilted and how like just lifeless the performances can be. But like, I think I told somebody after like leaving the theater that I think it should be necessary watching, because it just tells you how much a director influences performance.
Yeah, and I'm going to see it eventually. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah.
And it's not, I thought it would show up on Netflix.
I'm waiting for it too. Yeah.
Because Last Jedi and
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens both did end up on Netflix, so I don't know why this one is still just kind of lingering in the ether. Yeah.
And Rogue One did too, so.
Yeah.
But anyhow, that was my number one, sir.
Man, this is a hard trophy to give out. And just to choose. So my trophy, my final trophy, most important one in some ways, is going to best soul food restaurant in Akron right now.
We're doing this every year, sir. Every year we're going to do the best.
And it's
how many nominees are there?
Oh man, well, there's Creos. They just opened. I mean, Nicole's is still it's hitting. It's just Nicole's
in Akron. Know,
they've been around for a little bit, and LaSole came through strong. I mean, you know, 1001 East Talmadge Avenue, Akron, Ohio. dine in, carry out available. Every first and third Sunday, it's the Sunday buffet, and I happen to randomly walk in for the Sunday buffet. Oh my god.
Soul food like buffet. Plates.
Yeah, like, oh, it's so good. I mean, they had like,
do they
of course,
have, like, do they have
all
like,
the regular
cots
stuff.
On the side? You
there's
can
no
take
cots.
A nap? Like,
there's no cots. I was in there for a while though, and I will say that it was so good that my date started singing in the restaurant, like to the old school Kirk Franklin that was playing on the radio.
Nice.
So, and you got to get there, like, try to get there after 2-3 because you don't want to hit that church crowd. It's significant. So yeah, I mean, they've got everything you think of. Fried catfish, they've got mac and cheese.
The mac and cheese on the website looks
yeah they've legit. Got brisket, sweet potatoes, you know, they got the canned yams, there's fried tilapia, everything you can think of.
Collard greens,
$16.99 for adults with all you can eat buffet, and trust me, like, I mean, it even out about $40 two people, and like, if you're gonna eat three or four plates of food and maybe possibly sleep in there, then yeah, it was totally worth it. So yeah, LaSole, I mean,
if it can get people singing, like, that's pretty
yeah,
impressive.
It was just surreal and amazing just how great it was.
Nice.
Yeah, LaSole listeners, let me know when you drive all the way to Akron, Ohio, and try this restaurant. Let us know how it is. And awesome. LaSole, the owners, if you're listening, I'll take a free plate for that. What's your final three trophies possibly?
Yeah, it's three.
Don't end on your own award. Do your own award and then end on like, your best
all right. Yeah, because I'm ending on best picture. Yeah. So the best 2018 understated drama about a single father and his only teenage child, where the child ends up homeless, but the father isn't necessarily a bad parent and actually cares about and loves his kid, but just isn't equipped to deal with the devastating health issue that they have. And the title starts with an L and is made of three monosyllabic words, and the second word only contains the letters N and O.
This is... are you sure you didn't have John Ducker his help with making these categories?
My runner-up is Lean on Pete.
Oh my god.
But the winner is Leave No Trace. And then the next award I have is the best 2018 sequel to a kid's film involving a nuclear family with three dependents, where the most recent addition to the family is much different from the other two children, featuring action scenes involving wild animals and bigger action set pieces involving a train. The runner-up is Incredibles 2, but the winner is Paddington 2.
This tells me a lot about how your brain works. Like,
it's broke.
How you process the world around you.
And then my top 25 of the year, number 25, Sorry to Bother You, 24, Crazy...
You've gone through all of them?
Crazy Rich Asians.
Goodness, gravy boat.
23, Suspiria, 22, Mission Impossible Fallout, 21, You Were Never Really Here, 20, John McEnroe in the Realm of Perfection, which is an awesome documentary.
Huh. Okay.
That's an incredible name for a movie.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that.
Number 19, Isle of Dogs. Number 18, The Other Side of the Wind from Orson Welles.
Isle of Dogs is...
I forgot that came out this year.
That came out this year.
Someone put it on Twitter. I didn't...
I love dogs.
I never put it together.
Number 17, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Number 16, A Quiet Place. Number 15, Hereditary. Number 14, The Rider. Number 13, Lean on Pete. Number 12, Won't You Be My Neighbor. Number 11, Leave No Trace. Number 10, Widows. Number 9, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Number 8, Black Klansman.
Wow. That's so high.
That's right. I mean, it beat out Mr. Rogers, which that's... I was not expecting that. I thought
Mr. Rogers is kind of low.
I thought that would be
top five.
Into the Spider-Verse is so good. Number eight,
I haven't seen high praise.
So number 8, Black Klansman. Number 7, Minding the Gap. Number 6, Black Panther. Number 5, First Reformed. Number 4 is Roma. Number 3 is Annihilation. Number 2 is Burning, which was just playing it. The Nightlight, which is where I saw it. It was me, a dude sitting in the row in front of me, two people sitting in the front row for whatever reason, and that was it.
Nice.
And then as soon as it ended, me and the dude in front of me at the same time just went, "Whew."
Nice.
And then we left, and what's the guy's name? Steve, your coworker?
Yeah.
Me, him, and this, like, I assume college kid, who's pretty young looking, just talked about the movie for like 15 minutes. We're like, yeah,
that's what awesome. I like to hear. Yeah,
why are there four people in this theater? Like, what's going on? How come nobody else has seen this movie?
It's because no one's heard of it.
Foreign films. It's a thing. Yeah.
But my number one, Paddington 2. I think everyone knows that was coming.
Yeah,
it's not a surprise, but it's well deserving. I think
predictions for where Paddington 2 is going to land on the Oscar nominees.
Probably nowhere, because the Oscar, the Academy itself is full of what's it called?
Jabronis.
I like that.
It's full of
jabrones. I don't see why anyone.
Jabrones.
I stopped watching it in like undergrad. I don't see why anyone. It was you know.
I don't know why I do either. And honestly, like after all this, after
I Twitter this, watch it now.
Like, you hate watch it?
Well, no. Like, I don't even watch the actual.
I just watch the Twitter stream.
Yeah,
If after all this stuff they end up rehiring Kevin Hart, that might be it for me.
Well, I'm so done that. With this Kevin Hart thing. Like,
what's up with
why
Kevin
do we
Hart?
Have like we do not have to support Kevin Hart? Like, mm-hmm. It just there's no need to support Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm. There's some. What's the controversy with him? Or do we not need to get into
He posted some
pretty awful.
To call them homophobic would be to minimize how homophobic they were. Jokes. And then they said, "Hey,
so
you should apologize."
From the
they
Oscars
said, "Hey, you should apologize," and he said, "Hey, you should not be mean to me." And then they fired him, and now like Ellen is like, "Hey, people shouldn't be mean to him." And it's like,
yeah, Ellen's really? Just like, "Hey, like, we're rich, cosign."
Yeah, look. It's like, really, Ellen? Do you think you're not being that oppressed right now? You're
yeah, not to mention
a bajillionaire.
Her maybe. Own history with how she treats other black celebrities and things. It's like they're both toxic. Like, they deserve each other. You know?
Yeah. So
Ellen and Kevin Hart. Wow.
So we do have, as we do every year, a golden trophy to give out. I think we're all agreed that it's going to be Ready Player One.
Paddington 2.
I thought it would be Black Panther.
I'm joking. It's not going to be Ready Player One. Come on.
I thought it was going to be...
Get out of town.
What's the Leap, whatever movie you're talking about? The
Leap?
The horse movie?
Lean on Pete.
Yeah, that should be Lean on Pete, because you talked about that a lot.
I did talk about it a lot today. It's depressing. No, Ready Player One was not good, and it was in fact
neither was Jurassic World.
I didn't see it.
Fallen Kingdom.
I would be surprised if it wasn't Black Panther.
It's got to be Black Panther.
It's
got to
be Black Panther. What else could it be?
We dedicated the whole episode to it.
Yeah. It's got to be Black Panther. Come on.
Everybody saw it, right?
I haven't seen it.
What?
I know.
Demo, you're such a huge fan of comic books and
Demo, you don't
DC. I still haven't seen two. I'm still two or three. No, I'm still Aquaman behind. I saw Justice League finally. I'll see Black Panther. I'll see it.
Themo, yes, if you would have checked out Red Dead Redemption 2, we could have had a video game be the Golden Trophy, which would have been a first. We got to work on that.
You guys really talked me off of Red Dead.
It's worth it. It's just
played it, so
it's gonna. It's worth looking into. It's just gonna look into you.
That's very Nietzschean.
That's. I think that that's awesome that you can. I don't know. I just love that we're at the we were born around the time that this new art form was born, and we're starting to have conversations about what a video game will make reveal to yourself about you.
Yeah,
and that's intense.
Yeah,
that's
and I think that's what makes what's so exciting to me about it is that it's the first game that I've actually like felt like, wow, this is worth a lot of discussion.
Have you played Braid?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played it yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's just it's past its time at this point.
But yeah. I would say
for me. I mean, I know it's one of the great best indie games ever made, but
I'll check it out. I'm not I'm not too cool to play it.
I'm too cool. I think we can all acknowledge that for games.
When it comes to gaming, it's it's past time.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's if you don't want to play, at least do a YouTube.
Yeah,
thing. But
I mean,
play,
I know
it's,
the main
it's
what it's mostly,
but the ending's
about
ending's really it was the first game I had that kind of that and BioShock were the first games I kind of had that experience with.
Have you played Inside yet?
Which one?
Inside.
No.
It's by the same people that made Limbo.
Who played Limbo? I started it, but I couldn't. I got stuck somewhere. I just didn't progress.
Nick got about halfway through Inside.
Yeah, I have it on Switch. I just haven't finished it yet.
Let's check out Black Panther instead of Schindler's List.
Yeah, it's better than Schindler's List.
Whoa.
How far are you guys on your regrets? I've caught up with two of my three.
I need my list set to be again.
I need my list too, because I know I've seen.
I didn't Psycho. See Citizen Kane. I think I watched.
You guys are such weird.
If you want to play Braid instead of whatever mine was, do that. Because I'd like to get your input on it.
So, sir, you need to watch Spaceballs.
I'm not Spaceballs.
Citizen Kane and Casablanca.
Oh, man.
You know what we should do with the Spaceballs viewing? One of us should do shrooms next to sir, and he should be in charge. You should be in charge of making us watch the movie.
Kyle, have you watched Akira yet?
No.
What? I've tried. Don't you have my copy of it?
Probably, somewhere. I don't know. The movie's too weird.
No attempt.
I feel like I'm on shrooms when I'm watching that movie.
Get through it, like whatever it is.
Spaceballs. Poor guy.
Man, it was surreal.
When you talk about it, your eyes get wide.
I've caught up with two of mine. I've seen American Movie, and I watched Cool Hand Luke. Yeah. So I need to watch all of Toy Story 2.
I just need to see Schindler's List.
Man, I'm dreading Casablanca for some reason. I don't know why.
Casablanca's really good.
Don't worry about it.
It just feels like it's going to be so long and like...
It's not. It's like an hour and a half.
It's like, okay. For some reason, I have this idea of it being like 2.5 hours.
No.
I don't know how long it actually is, but it feels like it's
3.5. No.
And I listened to this, like... I made the mistake of listening to this NPR story about...
It's an hour 40 minutes.
And it was like so dry... And like the guy talking about it was just
brutal.
Yeah, but they're all on NPR. Like,
I remember once I was listening to NPR and they had this guy on who was talking about gadgets, and he was just talking about how he has like a shark skin cheese grater and how he uses chemistry tests or like Erlenmeyer flasks for his wine because it aerates. And I just, this was after a very long day at work. I'm just like, shut up. And I just punched my radio off. I got so angry. I was still a student then. But yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
It brings out the rage sometimes. NPR is introducing. I really want to do this Dungeons and Dragons episode at some point.
I would love to.
And then Jim Henson, I think we should do that.
And
those are my only.
You talking about streaming? On the Rocks, we did an episode dedicated to Netflix, where we just talked about our favorite things on Netflix. Mm-hmm. But if we did like streaming, where you just talk about streaming originals from everything, from like Shudder to Netflix, to Hulu, Pluto. To
only originals,
Amazon, only original content. Yeah, you just talk about only original content from different things. Cool. That'd be cool. Not to veer away from tropes, but
yeah, I think you know we do have to
mix it up a little bit too.
Try to keep the special episodes rotating.
Yeah. So before we wrap up, what's coming up in 2019 that you guys are excited about? Is there anything that's like on your radar?
Like watch wise?
Mueller? Anything. Mueller.
I'm hoping.
The thing that I'm
entertainment
wise.
I want to do a video podcast, but that's just our own thing.
But we would need to buy video.
Videos.
Also want this to be a video podcast.
That's why. Okay, so I have this little guy. I've been watching this video game podcast and how they have each it's a video podcast and each one of them have like a little station in front of them and they have figures that sort of like
represent them
Like, and it's video games, so they like show what they're into and it's kind of cool, so you can get that.
Yeah,
and I'm sure we could do the same thing with
We
all have our different personalities, and as far as like a set, and I thought that'd be cool. But yeah, figuring out video is going to be complicated. But I don't know. We've been talking about it for a while.
I think the thing I'm probably looking forward to the most, entertainment wise, is Twilight Zone, just because I want to see like whether he can really pull it off. And that's the thing. I feel like if anybody can, I did say it, like I feel like he can.
What form is it coming out in, or
where
it's coming out on TV, because I kind of doubt that.
CBS All Access. So that's another thing. I'm gonna have to get CBS All Access.
Not even
between that and the new Picard series, I'm gonna have to.
That's what kind of So it'll be like, I guess, fall 2019.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to point everyone, not to keep going on about Jordan Peele, but pointing to the my favorite Key and Peele episodes were the Halloween episodes. They had some genuinely like terrifying stuff that would also just made me roar at times. Not terrifying, but like, oh, that's really off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you guys ever see the one where it's Carlos in the Hall of Mirrors? It's on YouTube.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's really...
I've like slowly started to get into Key and Peele. It's people like will just tell me, hey, this is a really good one to watch. And
it's on
the top. The Halloween
one. My ears went up.
It's probably just me. Sorry.
Yeah. If you want to send us out. I'll say just about the Halloween ones is like I think the crowd that enjoys this podcast really enjoy those episodes because it's just like playing off of the different horror movie tropes.
You know, that is one thing I'll say I'm looking forward to in 2019 is the fans,
our fans,
the listeners. Man, I think we have the best listeners. I mean,
shout out to John. When is that trivia night coming?
I don't know. We got to do trivia night. Yeah,
I'm still down.
I thought it wasn't planned.
We keep coming up with plans for when it should be, but then it'll be done. It'll be done for sure. Yeah. One thing that I was going to say that I'm interested in this year is if Game of Thrones can stick the landing, or if that's just going to be hot.
Yeah, that's a huge. So that's a big conversation.
And whether we think it's going to set it up for a second show, like a second series.
I just want it to be over.
There's already a second series, but it's going to be a prequel, so they can end it how they want.
Yeah, I just want it to be over at this point. I mean, I already know it's going to
be like the young Baratheon and the young Ned Stark.
Like the young writers television series.
It's going to be a young Sheldon.
Wait, is that the one where
it's the Western.
One of the sequels, someone gets stabbed through the forearm, he's like, I think you forgot your knife.
People are so obsessed with the young Ned Stark, and I was like, that scene that he was in where he,
like it's the one scene?
Yeah, it's like a big battle between all of them, and I was like, that's kind of cool, but I don't know. That scene meant a lot as far as lore implications, and I was just like,
and like, man. I'm glad it's, what is it, 8 episodes? I would do 6.
Yeah. I could go with like 4 slightly longer episodes, and that'd be good.
I'd just
be like a British show, have him be like,
I'm still upset that I don't know why they did that with Littlefinger. That was the worst thing, in my opinion.
The way
I spoiled it. But
it was weird because it happened so quickly and sudden, and like I don't know, it felt weird that he would go out like that. Like he seemed more intelligent than
so much more intelligent. He should have been taken out when his butt was hovering above the Iron Throne seat.
Or like, it would have made more sense if he had actually gotten a little further into it. And at this point.
Yeah, all this being said, Nick, are you doing another whatever bet?
Oh, Game of Thrones fantasy team?
Yeah, for this next season?
I destroyed it the last 2 times I did it, and I destroyed fantasy baseball this year. I think I'm good at all fantasy leagues. It's like my thing.
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
Real leagues, though, you're not as good. But fantasy, you're fine.
What real leagues?
I don't know.
Fantasy baseball?
You're probably the best baseball player here. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, Kyle.
Yeah, probably Kyle.
No. Okay. I was just trying to think of a way to make fun of you for not beating me at Smash Brothers, but...
As far as the listeners know, I destroy you at Smash Brothers. As far as the misinformed listeners know...
I mean, laugh right into the mic.
I've literally never lost as far as.
You're like LeVar Ball.
Yeah.
Never lost. Oh
my gosh.
That's my favorite. That's
going to be the worst person.
Oh my God. Kenan's best sketch of 2018, LeVar Ball. How are you feeling, LeVar? I'm feeling incredible.
That would be the one reason to root against LeBron in any sort of. Basketball.
He said his son is going to be rated best track in his class by J.D. Power Associates.
Keenan's the best. He's
holding the whole show down.
It's been atrocious this year.
Oh man, awful season. He held it down. There was multiple episodes where it was just like they kept going back to him like every sketch, just because he was the only one getting laughs.
Yeah, but he's on a sitcom that's coming out. And I worry that it's going to cut into his SNL time.
Is he going to leave?
They need him.
Honestly, if they're smart, and this whole, I feel like this might be calling it from deep. I think that Keenan's going to take over. I think Lauren's going to pass it to Keenan. That's the thing that seems to make the most sense. And there was this one, I forgot who was on, like, and Keenan showed up in the sketch and he had the Lorne suit. You remember when Lorne would show up and just make one comment?
Yeah.
And like Keenan comes on and it's like, no, this is my show. And this, the way he said it, it was like really, it just felt like he was.
That would be awesome.
Stepping into the shoes. You know? Oh, yeah, this, I think he's the only one. I don't know.
He's the longest running cast
member. Yeah.
So that makes sense from that angle, certainly.
Like, I don't know if they've changed writers or maybe like Vanessa Bayer left and she was really underrated. I thought she was hilarious.
And so I know Colin Jost and Michael Che are, I mean, are they just writing update or are they running?
I don't know. I know Jost used to be head writer.
Suck.
Yeah.
I cannot stand
Weekend Update, you mean?
Jost and Che are two of the worst. They're awful.
They're awful.
I don't watch it.
I don't think I've ever seen two guys who were more like, as comedians, who were more, who were as talented as they were unintelligent. Like, I mean,
starting beefs all over the place.
So, I mean, I said it. It's been an awful season. And part of that's them. Part of it's them.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Cecily got her fair shot at Weekend Update. Definitely not. I love Cecily Strong. All right. 2018. It was all right.
It was all right.
It was okay.
We've had worse recently. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could have been worse.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be 2018 in a nutshell. It could have been worse.
Could have been worse.
I mean, we made it to 2019.
Yep, we're here now.
Starting there.
Yeah. You guys have any resolutions? Is that a thing we do?
Mm. I mean, same I had last year.
What's that?
Lose weight. Take a better care of my teeth.
I just have I have an old timey proverb, and that's just that. Hey, a watched pot never boils. Just remember that, listeners.
Well, that's your.
It's just my proverb of the year.
Old timey. Okay.
A watched pot never boils. You know, whatever that means to you.
I'm trying to like unpack this. Yeah. I mean, I know what it means.
That could be in relationships. It could be in your life. You know, keep an eye on things.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to write.
Wait, that. But if you it doesn't boil.
That's the opposite, right?
Well, yeah.
Are you saying it like a
don't
like
let the tension boil.
Don't let it over boil.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't let it boil over. Got it.
But we need to make it boil.
Well, yeah. Then you'll know exactly when to turn it off.
Okay.
I want to write more.
Same.
Man. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I didn't write anything in 2018. Not a single thing.
I actually wrote a lot. I actually, like, yesterday was trying to collect all of it and like, just get a good eye of what I actually put out.
This year I'm going to write stuff, and if it sucks, then I got it out of my system. That's my plan.
Then you'll quit and never come back to it.
No, just to get all the crap out of my system so that eventually I'll land on something good.
I kind of want to do all right, bear with me. I want to do Batman. I want to make a Batman versus Superman script that takes place with the, like, never mind. I have it in my head. It's forming. But bottom line is that, number one, it's going to be better than the one that got shown to us. And number two, it's going to be Michael Keaton's Batman. It picks up in real time all these years later with Michael Keaton already established.
Can I tell you guys my idea that Kyle... I told it to Kyle earlier.
I was just going
to
say, can you do it off air? Because I don't think it's going to land. I don't think it's going to land with anyone at this table or listening in on our show.
It would be like a comedy short. True crime style where somebody in doing research discovers that Babe Ruth was actually two different people.
Right?
I don't know.
Go on.
Like, it's all just some big conspiracy with the Yankees and the Red Sox. I think it's a hoot.
And the question is, which one was doing the pointing? Which sets us up for my next year trophy for best on-screen point. I love it. Greenlit. Say no more.
Say as soon as you pitched the idea before you explained what it was, I said that Thamo needs to be one of the detectives or whatever, one of the main people in it.
We can do this movie.
I think it's doable. It wouldn't be hard. It would be very short.
And I said we should turn it into a trailer.
Yeah, I think it would be a good trailer.
I would love to do fake trailers.
Yeah, because then you don't have to finish it.
I think that should be our resolution. Is that we.
Fake. We release a trailer.
Yeah, we film something and then it's a fake trailer.
Yeah.
I'd be down. I got a new lens for Christmas.
I got a masterclass, so I'm going to brush up on my writing and stuff like that.
Sweet.
So we'll do stuff. Maybe.
Yeah.
Or not.
I hope. It's the plan.
Always well on.
Always trying to be. 2019 is going to be better than 2018.
I think so.
That's the plan.
Yeah, I like it.
I think so.
Unless I die.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We had such a positive note there.
Right.
Just saying it's a possibility. Yeah. I don't know. Life is short and it's breathless.
Memento mori, yeah.
Anyways, those were our trophies. Ryan Kugler, if you want to come and accept your golden trophy, you can find us at onthetropes@gmail.com or at facebook.com/onthetropes. Or like you can just tweet at us and be like, hey, I'm Ryan Kugler. And we'll go, hey, what are you doing?
you're better than this.
WYD.
What are you doing, Ryan Kugler? And I'll go, I want that trophy. And I'll go, hold on. We'll get it forged in the hot fires of the Trope Studios.
In the vault. The fires of the vault.
Yeah. Anyways, I've been Nick.
I've been Sir.
Samo.
And Kyle.
And join us again in 2019, which it already is.
It already is.
Spoiler.
When we're going to do more tropes.
On the tropes.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah.